Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:33 on a Monday evening in Lansing. Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thank you for joining us tonight. The DNS changer malware. It's the big internet news today, with hundreds of thousands apparently unable to get online. It's the case that even involved the FBI. So what makes, let's try to make some sense from all this hubbub. To do that, I'm joined by Fred Touchette. He's the senior security analyst at AppRiver, appriver.com. Fred, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you guys are online security experts. Tell me, what is your estimate on the percentage of home computers that are infected by some kind of malware or virus right now?
Of any kind, I would say, it could go anywhere from 35% to 40% with malware infections.
Well, and I guess that's where the question comes in. We're talking about millions of computers, and we know there are thousands of different kinds of malware out there. Why was the FBI getting involved in this particular case?
This case in the DNS changer malware, they had happened to actually find out where these servers were that the bad guys were controlling. So they were monitoring them, and they finally caught them slipping up, and they were able to take them over. So they diverted all of the what would have been the malicious redirects to their own proper DNS configuration.
Other than that, though, you're saying there's nothing particularly unique about this piece of malware?
Not incredibly unique, no. I think what made it such big news was the fact that people that were unaware that they were infected could have lost the internet today. And some of the headlines were kind of blown up about that.
Now, how often does the FBI get involved in these kinds of malware or even virus issues?
Well, they try a lot. The biggest problem with these issues is oftentimes the other countries that these servers or the individuals are in don't necessarily play nice. There's a lot of, international red tape to cut through in order to actually continue with an investigation like this.
So when we're talking about malware, 9 times out of 10, almost always, this is simply for commercial purposes, right? I mean, there's no intention to harm the computers that are being infected.
No, that used to be the case a long time ago when, viruses were mainly pranks. But nowadays, it's all about getting your money.
Well, I guess that should be comforting to our listeners, then.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, what's the problem? I mean, you have a piece of malware that redirects you somewhere else. I mean, eventually, I mean, you're going to end up going to the website you want to go to, typically, right?
Well, I think they had total control. So the DNS system works like, as I had heard there in a little soundbite, it's basically the phone book of the internet. So real internet addresses are a series of numbers called IP addresses, and those are really difficult for, humans to remember. So instead, we type things into our browsers like google.com, and when we do that, it goes out to these DNS servers to find out the IP address to actually go to. Now, when the bad guys are controlling your DNS server, they can serve up any page that they want to give you. If you think you're going to your bank site like three out of four times, they could give you the real bank site. Another time, they could serve one up that just looks like your bank site.
I see. Now, tell me, with the amount of security, with all the viruses and malware you're seeing, would you just say 9 times out of 10, almost always, these things are simply a nuisance? They slow things down, but they generally don't do any personal harm to someone using a computer that has malware or a virus on it?
Their intent is to do just that. They're mainly what they're after are account numbers and login details, passwords, and they don't always use them right away. Oftentimes, these people will just harvest this information in bulk, and they'll sell it on a black market forum to someone else that may fence goods or whatever they want to do with it.
I'm talking to Fred Touchette. He's the senior security analyst at AppRiver. Where is AppRiver located? How long have you guys been in business?
We've been here for 8 years. We're in Gulf Breeze, Florida, right in the panhandle.
So, Fred, tell me, where are we in this virus versus antivirus war? I mean, is it now clear that any virus, even the most destructive kinds, are almost always quickly identified and a solution or protective measure is usually found right away?
That is often the case, yes. The biggest problem with that is a lot of people that either don't have antivirus or they don't keep it up to date or they don't keep their other software on their computers up to date as well.
And in terms of, so if you have a virus or malware on your computer, you simply run your antivirus program or run your malware program or the anti-malware program, and it can clear it out, right? There's typically no issues once you put the programs on.
Usually not. The only exception to that is what's known as a zero-day or zero-hour virus. And that's one that is brand new, right out of the box, and there is no protection for it yet.
So is the understanding that those that are working on antivirus solutions understand more about the technology and the infrastructure of the Internet than those that are producing these viruses?
I think you've got equal talent on both sides of that fence. Not always, of course, but there are some very sophisticated viruses out there.
Now, in this case, the DNS changer malware, these were non-Americans involved. Is that typically the case, that these are European or Asian folks that are putting these malware programs together?
In a lot of cases, but not always.
No kidding. So, I mean, in terms of... in the U.S., though, I mean, doesn't the FBI have a much clearer view in terms of what's happening within the network in the U.S., and aren't they able to identify people more easily within country?
They do. The trick that they use to circumvent that, though, is they'll host their malicious software or whatever they're using on foreign servers, and that makes it a lot harder.
I see. Now, even those that are now working on these things, they're not troublemakers. They're people that are trying to make money. They're trying to put together a business of some sort.
That's pretty much the case, except in like hacktivism, if you're familiar with that term. Those people are often, they've got something they're standing up for, and those are normally where they'll just knock your website offline or. You know, troublemakers.
You know, it seems that you click on any website, even legitimate ones, and they'll try to download all kinds of things on your browser, whatever it is they want to put on your computer to engage you. I mean, how is it that malware is particularly illegal while, you know, Yahoo can dump all kinds of stuff on your computer without you maybe being fully aware of it?
Right, that's true. The difference is Yahoo, when they're trying to sneak in a toolbar or something like that, they will give you all of the information there as far as what to expect, what you're about to do. And, you know, it might be some really small print that you have to dig through, but it is there, and they are following the law. The difference with malicious installs is that, you know, they're normally not upfront about what they're about to do. Or it might be, in the Trojans' case, they say it's going to do one thing, but in the background it's doing something completely different.
This other news story involving Iran, they're dealing with their own viral problem, something called the Fire virus. Apparently it's wiping out their files. When you see a virus like this, is this on a different level than what we typically see in the U.S.? I mean, are there viruses that are far more sophisticated and destructive that can outwit even the smartest antivirus folks?
These, especially the Flame, and it's Flame is actually a precursor to Stuxnet, which made big news. And these are much, much more complex than the normal day-to-day viruses that most of us see.
More complex, you're saying a virus can be put together in a way where it can overwhelm the antivirus ability or even the knowledge of those that work in the antivirus fields?
Yes. You can do some preemptive strikes as far as malware is concerned. However, there's still going to be those that make antivirus a reactionary business.
You know, when you talk about viruses, you sound so calm. I wonder, do you think when it comes to these Armageddon-like predictions that we could have a threat to our national network or the even international internet that could take down a huge part of it? Do you think that's just not going to really ever happen?
I don't want to be the bringer of bad news or anything like that, but I do believe it's completely possible, and I think that it's, you know, it's been heading that direction for quite a while now.
Have you seen some close calls or viruses that you thought, oh, this could be the one?
No, I haven't personally. I know that I've read a lot of reports, government reports and things like that, and they have said that they've caught people, you know, poking around where they shouldn't be.
So this would essentially take, though, implanting viruses throughout the network, right? And then and then having them take effect kind of all at once and surprising the community?
That's one way to do it, certainly. In the case of Flame and Stuxnet, those were actually worms that they just set loose near their intended target, and eventually they crawled their way, self-replicating along the way, to their intended destination.
In those cases, how are those resolved?
How are they resolved? Well, they finally found them, which took them a long time. This was Stuxnet in particular when, you know, it was the worm was designed to go and change the rate at which their centrifuges rotated in order to, you know, enrich mm-hmm. the uranium. That took them quite a long time.
They had to replace the computers, essentially?
They did. It was the SCADA systems that were controlling some very intricate programming knowledge would have been needed in order to write that piece of software.
Hmm. Fred Touchette, a senior security analyst at AppRiver. That's appriver.com. Fred, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you very much, Mike.
And we'll be right back to talk about women and shopping. There's a new study finding that women spend well over $100,000 in a lifetime on their clothing. Is that a lot? Is that a little? We'll talk about it all next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.